Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all. Well, recently I was meditating and pondering what, you know, God had in mind for me and my life and, you know, decisions coming up, what to do. And I was thinking, that's all about me. What about God? What is it that would please God? And 1 John 3 came to mind, and I'll read that for you. 1 John 3 and verse 22, it says, "And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So what is pleasing in God's sight? And today I will answer this question with a sermonette title, "Pleasing God." What does the Bible say we have to do to please God? Well, there's one short way to please God, and there's a scripture in Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So here we have a promise and a statement that without faith it's impossible to please God. So it's something that we need to exercise and to do. And this one verse has a few elements. It talks about faith, belief that he is as part of that, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So first, let's look at the faith. And we know faith is the evidence of things unseen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. And we'll read from verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For if we walk by faith and not by sight, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body, in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad." So what we do in this physical life determines our compensation or reward. And we yearn to be present with God in our lives. We yearn to walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by sight, we're walking in the flesh. We're focusing in on the physical realm. And sometimes that's really easy to do, is to focus on what we can see and what we can hear and feel. It's so easy to get triggered, to be angered or irritated by the things that we see, hear, and that we sense in this physical life. And it's so hard to walk in the spirit We're so triggered by those physical emotions. And we have to have faith in the unseen. We have to have faith in God that we have a higher purpose than what we can see and sense. And when we're tapped into that and we're present in the Spirit, that is to say, when we're at home with the Lord, right, we're not in our body, we're focused on the Lord in that faith, focusing on the unseen things. That gives us purpose and power. So the second part of this verse in Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. Right, we need to have him present in our life, and we need to be present with God as we go about our day. And to do that, we need to believe that he is. He is existing, he is present. And we see in Romans 1 what happens when we lose sight of that. If we go to Romans 1, and we'll start in verse 18, and go through to verse 24, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here God is saying that I've created this amazing creation that witnesses his great power, that it was an intelligent being that created everything. It's so perfect and so perfectly designed. It could only be a supernatural God that could do that. And here in verse 20, it's saying the world is without excuse because there's so much evidence of God's purpose. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. So mankind has turned away from God, and that didn't go so well, did it? The rest of chapter 1 explains how mankind were given over to a debased mind. They turned from God. So we need to believe that he is, that he is the great God that's present, that he's part of our lives, part of our calling. The next part of that, Hebrews 11 verse 6, is to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That the great God has a great reward for us because we diligently seek him. Let's go to Genesis 15 and look at a promise to Abraham. Genesis 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. So some commentaries say that God is the reward for Abraham. And when we have that personal relationship with God and seek Him, that we also have that relationship. And that is an amazing reward, to have that presence of God in your life and Him living through you. And this promise to Abraham is very similar to in the New Testament, where we're exhorted to stand before Christ and He says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." Right? That's our vision of His reward, that He called us for that. He didn't call us to fail. God isn't the God of failure. He's the God of success. And He's called us to a great reward. And yes, there's things that we need to do, but that's the vision of our success. And that's what we need to believe in and focus on. And when we have that positive expectation, then we're going to be so much more connected to God. Let's go to Revelation 22. So we looked at Genesis in the beginning. We're going to Revelation 22, the last book in the Bible. Revelation 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." Right? That's a promise. He's coming to give His reward. And that's what we need to do to please God, is to have that faith that we must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that's us. So the final part of that scripture is them that diligently seek Him. It's not a half-hearted effort that we put in. We need to put all our heart and effort into seeking God. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." And if we're seeking God, we need to do that with all our might. In our physical realm, we are limited. But seeking Him means that we look into the spiritual realm, seeking His wisdom, His purity, and His understanding. His spiritual realm is so much more than ours. Brethren, as time draws near to His coming, let us take the time to diligently seek Him, to walk with God in faith, not letting our physical life limit our beliefs, but to be empowered and to reflect God in our lives, to radiate God in our lives. May God's words to Abraham resonate with you. "Do not fear. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great."